Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. I wanted to talk about how feminism is nothing new, but before we get started on that, I want to thank God and praise the Lord. Wanted to give you a little bit of update. The ministry output has been absolutely amazing, continues to increase and expand across God's beautiful green earth upon which his people or the human race dwell. And Jesus said that in the last days before his return, this gospel of his kingdom is going to be preached in all the nations. Matthew 24:14, and we're thankful to be playing a part of that, and so are some of you, and we're thankful to God for you. The podcast in just a few months has now reached over 60,000 downloads, and people from all over the world are listening to the Word of God via Safeguard Your Soul, and we're thankful for those who are monthly sustaining members. And if you're not yet, I would invite you to consider it. SafeguardYourSoul.com/donate. God bless you. So feminism is nothing new. There is no new thing under the sun. It says this, Ecclesiastes 1:9, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. I want you to memorize and capture that biblical truth. It's going to be needed and come in handy for the rest of your days on earth as we look eagerly and expectantly for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So before feminism, that's just a new name to Jezebel Rebellion, or I call it Jezebelian, two words put together. So the pink-haired monsters, the witches who march on the streets demanding that they have the right, quote-unquote, to murder their own children is nothing new. There were vile women and evil throughout history, and men also, by the way. This isn't just about women at all. It's about the fallen human race. In fact, the vilest woman in the Bible, the counterpart to Judas, if you will, would be Jezebel. Remember that in scripture, the vilest woman ever, 1st and 2nd Kings, and also Revelation 2:20-24, is going to be Jezebel, who wrought much witchcraft and wickedness in the eyes of the Almighty with her husband, King of Israel, Ahab. And we have a large category on safeguardyoursoul.com. Just put in /Jezebel at the end of the URL, safeguardyoursoul.com, and you'll find some very intriguing information about this wicked witch named Jezebel and her witchcrafts and her whoredoms, 2 Kings 9:22, and then her death. God had her thrown down from a high building and eaten by the dog. That's what he thinks about Jezebel, not only the original Jezebel, but the one we see in Revelation 2:20-24, who was allowed to operate in the Thyatira church. And it was the men that God rebuked for allowing this. We call weak, moral, coward men Ahabs. That was the husband of Jezebel, the witch. And I want you to keep that in mind, because I don't personally believe that a Jezebel can properly or at all operate where there are true men of God. Men of God do not agree with women acting outside of the divinely stated order that God has given given them, and vice versa. Today, Jezebel has many daughters who follow in her God-hating, rebellious footsteps, seeking to rule over men and act outside of the divinely ordained order and role for women set forth by our Maker, and to whom each and every one of us shall give account. Recently, a lady wrote this. She said, "The idea that women have inherent value is ridiculous. A woman's value comes through her good character, honor, kindness, and obedience." Not all caps, N-O-T. Not all women are valuable. Some are worthless and a threat to any good moral society, unquote. We got to remember, saints, in history, beginning at the Garden of Eden, that Satan attacked the human race via the weaker vessel by getting her to operate outside of her role, deceiving her. And let's face it, it was Adam's fault for not shutting it down on the spot. No, instead, Adam took Satan's lead and took his bait via his wife and ate of the forbidden fruit. We read there in Genesis chapter 3, the fall of mankind was the result of the sin committed by the man and the woman. God had said, "You can eat of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And Satan tempted the man and woman, claiming that there would be no consequences for their sin, and thereby removed the fear of God from their hearts. And they ate of the forbidden fruit, and they died. The human race had fallen. Genesis chapter 3. By the way, I must point out that that's the original doctrine of devils. It's equivalent to and called today once saved, always saved, and eternal security, where Satan's false teachers teach people that no matter what they do, if they disobey God, they live in sin, or they sin against God, that they're not going to suffer the consequences of being separated from He who is holy, holy, holy. But Adam and Eve found out that God was what He said and said what He meant, and they were removed from His presence immediately after they had sinned. No different than when iniquity was found in Satan's heart, that he was vanquished from eternal glory, because God will not coexist with anyone who chooses to sin against Him. For example, Psalm 5:4, "For Thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with Thee." How about Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on iniquity." So God is not going to coexist with anyone who chooses to live outside of His stated will. The wages of sin is still death, saints, and God is holy, holy, holy. Isaiah 6:3, Revelation 4:8. So a question to the gentleman is, will you be an Ahab, or like Ahab, who was Israel's king, Jezebel's husband? Are you going to acquiesce to your woman, or are you going to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Lemuel's beloved, beautiful mother, a woman of great wisdom, instructed him in the beginning verses of Proverbs 31. Many of us know Proverbs 31 to be the virtuous woman chapter and most popular chapter in the Bible, I'm sure, among the godly women. But the first 9 verses is his mother, the mother of Lemuel. Little is known of him, but his mother was instructing him. And in verse 3, she said to him, "Give not your strength to women." Hey, Lemuel was not to give his strength or his honor or the responsibility of his role over to women. Seems like that's what happened with Adam. Tended toward his wife instead of fearing and obeying God, right? And it caused the fall of mankind. Mankind had fallen when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, and the Lord blamed the weak, moral, coward men in the Thyatira church, as I mentioned earlier, for allowing what the word suffereth means in King James. This woman named Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, or to function outside of the role that God has stated for the woman. Women are not to be leading in the church. 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12, the scriptures make it clear that to suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, that's not going to change, saints. That's non-negotiable truth. And it really doesn't matter how many scriptures you put in their faces, these Jezebels are absolutely absolutely lawless. We address that at length on the site with podcasts, etc., and scripture. We've got one post, it's under the Jezebel category. Beware of the scripture twisting Jezebels. It's a podcast. So men have to beware and be ready to always settled in their hearts that they're going to fear and obey God, not women. The Bible says that we're to commands us to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. Are we going to be an Ahab, or are we going to be a God-fearing man as Lemuel was instructed to be, and to not give his call, his role, his authority as a man over to the woman? Are we going to be an Ahab or a battle axe for God? Are we going to be a man of steel and also velvet? May God bless us to walk in the perfect balance of such. One thing's for sure, we are to fear God and we're to keep his commandments. In his hands is the destiny of our eternal souls, and we shall give account to him. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Fear God, that's a commandment. I want to encourage you to do a study on the fear of God. It's going to change your life. It's going to greatly enrich your prayer life, and it's very likely to be the very thing that keeps you out of eternal damnation. I love what the psalmist prayed in Psalm 86, 11. He said, Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name. What a prayer. Unite my heart to fear thy name. When the fear of God permeates your innermost man, it's going to make a big difference in your life in a good way. In fact, Proverbs chapter 14, I believe it's verse 27, says, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Wow. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. Get that picture. It's like a fountain of life within you, to depart from the snares of death. When a man fears the Lord, he's going to be very sensitive in his conscience and quickened in his spirit to go away from evil and temptation and sin, to depart from such, to look not to the left hand nor to the right, but to remove thy foot from evil, as we read in Proverbs 4. And I want to encourage you to pray that every day, saints. Unite my heart, Lord, to fear thy name. Psalm 86, 11. I want you to write that on an index card, as usual, out of the King James Bible with the reference, and also share it with others and keep praying it. And whatever we do to fear God, to keep his commandments, that's the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work in the judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. So feminism is nothing new. There's no new thing under the sun. It's just a new label or name for Jezebel rebellion, women who are seeking more rights than they already have. They already have more rights than men. They can murder the child that is also the man's, the husband's, or the father's, with no permission from the man. There's no rights that men have in our society, which is in its final stages of total apostasy and judgment, that women don't have. Men don't have any rights that women don't have. But I say that to say they're marching on the streets for reproductive rights, or the right to murder their own child in the streets. This is rebellion against God. If they fornicated, that was sin. They're in rebellion against God and got pregnant. And then they're going to take the further step to actually want to justify and have the right, legal right, to murder their own children. It doesn't matter what man legalizes or not. Thou shalt not kill, the scripture says. And that means you're murdering someone that's innocent. And that baby is innocent no matter how that baby came about. Thou shalt not kill. So speaking of the book of Ecclesiastes, by the way, as we read from a moment ago, it says in 7:26 of Ecclesiastes, notice this is coming out of a man who had 700 wives and 300 concubines. The New Testament, Jesus said that two, just two, male and female, shall be one. But in Ecclesiastes, we read 7:26, and I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets. She catches men, obviously, in her traps, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. So Adam, as well as most of us men along the way, have not pleased God by obeying him, and we obeyed the woman. And by the way, he says here, it's the sinner, only the person living in sin, who's going to be taken by the Jezebel. So gentlemen, as we look back, or maybe someone listening is presently in this season, and we realize that we had gotten caught in the snares, the nets, the bands of a Jezebel, that was because we were not in the perfect will of God. We were not set upon fearing God and keeping his commandments. God must be feared and put first. The first commandment of the Decalogue is what? You shall have no other gods before me. You're not to give your strength to women. You're not to give your worship to anyone except God. Bow down to no one, the second commandment says. That's idolatry. And one idol is as good as a million. If you got anything before God, you're out of his will. In every list of soul-damning sins in the Bible, if I'm not mistaken, has idolatry in it. Anybody who dies outside of being in Christ and Christ being their first love, abiding in vital union and worship with him, is as sure for hell as if they were already there. Jesus told those who had left their first love, his own church in Ephesus, that they had to repent. It was essential, and return to him as the first love of their life. Now, let me encourage you and ask you a rhetorical question. Is there anything or anyone that is before God in your life that you give allegiance to more than the Almighty? That would mean you do not fear him. To fear God is to have him always first, and whenever he's not first, absolutely first in your life, your whole life is going to be out of balance. You're going to be unhappy, miserable, and separated from him. This is a non-negotiable, absolute condition. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then and only then are you to love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, you cannot love your neighbor correctly, your horizontal relationships, until you get your vertical in order. The cross is first upward, and then it's outward. Matthew 22:37-40. So God-fearing men expose and oppose Jezebels. They do not hearken to or give any credence to the Jezebel agenda, which is prevalent in our day as we look for Christ's soon return. But godly men give no place to her or her agenda, and neither do godly women, by the way. In fact, it's such a very refreshing thing to see so many godly women rising up and men to smite this evil that we have in the land, many of the times spearheaded by the Jezebel movements with all their crying and shouting and boisterous evil, instead of being godly women who are of a meek and a quiet spirit, 1 Peter chapter 3. So godly men and women do not give place. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. This is the devil. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he uses his human agents to pass his killing, stealing, and destroying, and his lying, John 8:44, John 10:10, etc. So godly people, they fear God. They do not allow or suffer Jezebel to function, as did the coward men in Thyatira when they allowed Jezebel to function outside of the ordained role of a woman in the household, the family first, and then in the church. Women are not to be elders or preachers, pastors, apostles, evangelists, pastors, or teachers over men. No, Jesus resurrected from the dead, and he gave gifts unto men, eldership serving gifts, not titles, but functions to serve him and his body with, and they're named in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 8. And so verse 11 and 12, those men are there to perfect or mature and equip the body of Christ so that the body of Christ is doing the ministry every day, wherever they are. And also a qualification of an elder is that he must be the husband of one wife, which no woman could possibly be. Last time I checked, I'm being facetious, of course, no woman qualifies, and that ought to be a blessing to women, and it is to godly women. It's just one less thing they have to do. God has given women other family and ministerial duties, and it's not to be in leadership or headship in and among his people. Women are to teach the younger women, Titus chapter 2. They are also to obey their husbands in the household, Titus 2:5. Dangerous men, though, they defeat, and I would say women also, dangerous for Jesus, women and men, defeat Jezebel and never bow to her ungodly demands of rebellion against God's order and God's word. They never bow down and worship at the altar of this wicked Jezebel. Again, Lemuel's mother instructed him to give not his strength unto women. Put God first. So the total destruction of any society is at hand when women are leading instead of men leading. Notice Isaiah 3:12 says, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women shall rule over them. This is in a state of apostasy in Israel. Begin reading in Isaiah chapter 1. Right here in chapter 3 says, women shall rule over them. That's a sign of an apostate people, and that's what we have now. Also in Isaiah 32:9, we read, rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. So God, that's alive and well today. God is calling his ladies to rise up, and that in the New Testament context would be that you're dead and buried, and you're being raised up by the Lord. Amen. And to come out of that ease, the Bible says in Amos 6:1, woe unto those that are at ease in Zion. That seems to be equivalent to being lukewarm, where Christ said he's going to spew you out of his mouth if you're not on fire for him, but rather lukewarm. He would that we were either cold or hot. Seems that the cold, those that are just flat out cold, are easier to be reached than the lukewarm. And so to underscore how we see this rebellion, as we touched on earlier, how it's manifesting all around us in the earth, the Christian Homemaker's Handbook says this, a strong emphasis upon the family and procreation within marriage as a divine means for extending the generations and producing godly seed is found throughout Scripture. Fruitfulness of the womb remains a sign of great blessing. To suggest that any woman or man is master of her own destiny is alien to a biblical worldview. Women are called upon to make sacrifices. They are challenged to live selflessly. The sacrifices and selfless life are essential for the continuation of the generations. Women cannot shun this great responsibility of maternity without endangering all civilization, unquote. And another person wrote this recently, feminists in our day they say, I don't cook, I don't clean, I don't want kids. And then where are all the good men, they ask? They are at home with their wives that are cooking, cleaning, and raising their kids and being great moms. I'm sorry you were lied to, but it is what it is, unquote. Amen. Again, as I mentioned earlier, women in the family and the church. By the way, the family came first. Book of Genesis, first came the family, then the church. So priority is first God and then family. Anytime the priority structure of Scripture is out of order, an individual's life is going to be completely out of order. If you're out of biblical order, it's because it's going to result in you being out of biblical blessings. So let's say it another way. If you're out of biblical blessings, it's because you're out of biblical order and you're not under the mighty hand of God, which he says that we are to humble ourselves under in 1 Peter chapter 5. So first the family. First, the relationship with God, then the family, and then the church. Mary Magdalene, someone wrote, being the first to proclaim Christ's resurrection isn't an argument for women's pastors. It shows that anyone can proclaim the gospel, even those who are unqualified to be pastors, which would be women. That's just one less responsibility. You ought to be rejoicing. Why does a woman want to rule over men? Something's not right. There's order in the creation of God. There's order in the family. There's order in the church. Again, I call your attention to posts we have called Beware of the Scripture Twisting Jezebel. There is no end to the misuse and the out-of-context scripture they attempt to use laughably to justify women being in authority over men in the church or the household. Again, 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12 tells us, suffer or allow not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. She is to learn in silence when it comes to the gatherings of the saints. The Lord, who is holy, is calling every woman who names the name of Jesus to denounce every trace of the filth of Jezebel and her false teachings and philosophies and her demonic propaganda. And he's calling you to do that now and to be clean of it and to stay clean of it by being washed by the water of his word on a continual basis. As you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he's going to lift you up. And as you humble yourself and you are a disciplined follower, a disciple of Jesus, you're going to rise up every morning seeking his face and announcing afresh that you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, crying out to him with John the Baptist that he must increase. Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. And then, it's only then, my friend, for every Christian listening to me, that you're going to begin to taste and see that the Lord is good. When you're dead and buried and Christ is raising you up, he's living his life in and through you. That's when the victory is coming and never before. God's not going to raise up anyone into victory and his glory that's not obediently dead and buried. You got to resign yourself to death and burial. That's the cross, and it should be at the heart. It is at the heart of the original gospel, and he's calling you to put it at the heart and the center of your life. There will be not one Jezebel in heaven, nor Ahab. God doesn't like feminine men. He loves you, but he doesn't like you being feminine, and he will damn your soul to hell if you're a feminine man. Not even a sodomite. Doesn't even take being a sodomite. That's for sure rebellion and an abomination to God, Leviticus 18:22. But according to 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, men are not to be effeminate. And if they are, they're going to be damned to hell. You can't be a Christian and be effeminate, gentlemen. God doesn't want us being light in the loafers, if you will. So we're to know our God-ordained, biblically stated role. It's an open book test, and never walk outside of it, and never for women attempt to fill the role of a man, nor men to try to fill the role of a woman. Recently, we did a podcast called The Roles of Men and Women Are Intentionally Unique and Complementary. That'll be under the family category. It's called, just put in the word if you want to search it, The Roles. I'm also putting it at the link at the bottom of this text part of this message. Again, we're talking about today feminism and how it's nothing new. It was referred to, we could refer to it as Jezebelian or Jezebel rebellion, as comes from the scriptures. It's no new thing under the sun. Everything we see today has been. The Elijahs of today, they're going to slay. They're going to stand up and slay and never compromise with Jezebel, such as we mentioned earlier, the weak, moral, coward men in the church of Thyatira who allowed this woman named Jezebel, who falsely it was self-proclaiming herself to be a prophetess, they allowed her to function. We've got that today in the church. Women that swear they're anointed, and some of you've heard that can really preach, but that doesn't change the word of God. And there's the testing point right there. Whether or not you're going to say, you know what, the word of God says, suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. Women are to only be teaching women and children, not men. True repentance always leads to an infusement of truth and the fear of God and an unbending steel backbone, one that says, God, I'm saying with your apostle Paul, Jesus, let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. God bless you, friends. May God bless each of us to fear his holy name, and that he might unite our hearts to fear his name and bless us to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ as we look for his soon return. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.